to Expounded Universe, Season 24, Episode 4. Press F to torture Human Dad. A lot of torture in this. Which is Shadows Rising by Madeline Rue, a World of Warcraft Shadowlands novel. With your hosts, Jeff and John, chapters 11, 12, and 13. Let's go.
Everybody, welcome back to Expanded Universe.
How are you?
Expounded Universe. Oh, very nice. Good dwarf.
one of the few things that every dwarf says when you click on them. How are you?
I say a couple of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the same things they say when you unclick from them. Off with you. Yeah. See you soon. Yeah, they say their stuff. Yeah, I mained a dwarf, so I'm used to these things.
Uh-huh.
But you know, mained elf and dwarf were my good boy, good time gals.
Whereas I had, I think, like 12 characters and fully six of them were Draenei.
I was gonna say, you mostly play Draenei, and I get that. I have a Draenei. Everyone's got a Draenei.
Look, you gotta have a Draenei.
You gotta.
People who played WoW of a certain age have some Draenei.
They have some Draenei.
Because that expansion came out and they were like, hey, did you want just like an immensely improved leveling experience? And you're like, I do. I will be a Blood Elf or a Draenei.
Yeah. Tell us your favorite movies from these 10 years and we'll tell you whether or not you had a Draenei that you could play. You did.
You did. I've never played WoW. You have a Draenei.
You have a Draenei, though. It's waiting for you.
If you try and log into WoW right now, it'll tell you you already have an account, and then if you get into WoW, you'll see a Draenei waiting for you.
There will be a Draenei, and it'll be your Draenei.
And it'll be a max-level Draenei.
I know.
It's raid ready.
It's ready for you right now. A 5-star pull of a Draenei, plus 200 spare crystals.
Come play, my lord.
So I'm Jeff, and that's John. And how are you?
I'm doing great.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We are recording this on the very new year.
Yeah, this is New Year's Day. I know it's a federal holiday and we shouldn't be working, but whatever. We're podcasting.
Oh, please.
We do what we want.
We shouldn't be working as we do work for the government.
It's true. This is a government podcast.
We are a federally funded podcast.
I always forget to tell people that we record this whole thing in a FEMA shelter.
Yeah, in addition to everyone that is on the network being here watching us as we record.
We're all huddled together in a FEMA shelter. We move it around to wherever there is currently a natural disaster.
Yeah, and we're not allowing anyone who needs help into the FEMA shelter.
No, it's just for us. We just go there because FEMA shelters get free electricity. And, you know, it takes a lot of electricity to run all these podcasts and Bitcoin mining rigs that we have in here. I forgot. You do that, too. I forgot to tell you.
I did forget one more piece of information.
One last bit of information. We are mining Bitcoin in here. We trade it on
But it's fine. There's a reason. It's because we need all of it to buy that crypto.
We need lots of crypto because we buy that crap on the exchange, and we're going to the moon. Is that it? Diamond Hands? Which one's the thing? Oh, Diamond Hands is from Stonks.
Diamond Hands, Lewis.
Well, Diamond Hands is from that GameStop bullshit. Remember that?
Of course I remember.
Yeah, so when they were like, don't sell, because that one guy didn't sell, and he made a lot of money, so don't sell. They got to eventually evaluate it correctly, and then we'll all be millionaires or whatever the fuck their delusional bullshit was. Diamond Hands was the don't sell this thing.
Okay.
Going to the moon is the crypto thing. It's the this will eventually all be worth it, and it's not just a dumb bubble that we've all invested in like morons.
Yes.
Yeah. You better go to the moon, because you're certainly divorced here on Earth now.
Ha! You are the most divorced a person could possibly be, Elon Musk.
I don't even know if he bought into crypto or not. They all seem to assume he eventually would. He's stupid enough. Sorry. This has gone kind of off our usual rails.
Hey, look, sometimes it's the new year, new me. And new me does the exact same meandering bullshit as the old me.
But now about crypto.
But now I've got opinions about NFTs.
Yeah, check out that Red Ape cartoon.
Mmm, delicious.
I've got opinions.
I've got onions.
I did just eat some onions.
Mm.
So, when last we left our heroes? Yes, no? Do we want to do any New Year's stuff? Do we have any business?
I will say I did, even though this is not, you know, particularly pertinent to this show, I did, as a New Year's fun little thing for people to have, I opened up the entire Patreon series we did for TV Mastery for The Littlest Hobo.
Okay.
It is my favorite of the TV Mastery series we've done. We got, you know, some special guests on there.
Yeah.
People need to know about this good dog. I open it to anyone who is backing the Patreon at any level instead of the $10 level.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's generally about another few hundred people that can listen to it.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to know what was going on over there and you support us, or if you just want to be like, no, oh, I'll give you a dollar for a month to check that out.
$2.
Nah, man, just for a dollar.
Don't change the bargain basement price. It's $2 a month for the remember, we had to change it from weekly.
Oh, I know.
You're killing me. You're scared the shit out of me just now.
Well, I'm saying I changed it to literally anyone who supports us. It does not matter the level.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you're allowed to pledge for under the minimum support value, but it's fine. You know what? I'm stepping on a joke. I apologize. Folks, I want to apologize to you. No, so you
made apologize to my feet for stepping on you. Yes. And that joke.
They don't deserve to step on you.
Stinky feet.
That's beneath them. Much like you're beneath them when you are stepped on by them.
Yeah.
But no, so you've made it so that if anyone's a patron at any level that we have, then they get access to those 12 or so episodes where we reviewed Old Littlest Hobo Showbo.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's very nice. I will do my best to remember to put up a set of links to that, because that's old content. It can be really hard for people to dig up.
I mean, if you just go to the front page and search Hobo, it gets the whole series.
So there you go. If you want to listen to the Littlest Hobo reviews, I also really enjoyed Littlest Hobo.
Yeah, it is a great series of episodes. I went in and picked out some of the wildest episodes
almost
from
all
that
in the
series.
First season. It was weird how crazy the first season specifically was.
They did a lot of weird things with that show. When they were like, oh, a dog will rescue people. And you're like, yeah, that sounds normal. And they're like, oh, this ain't Lassie, motherfucker.
We shove this dog out of planes.
In episode one, this dog will jump out of a plane. You don't understand where we are going with this.
Yeah, so definitely go check. It's not my favorite season of TV Mastery. Mine remains kids' cartoons based on R-rated movies.
Yeah,
but you know, they can't all be for $1 or $2 or whatever it is. But
plus,
yeah,
that one is 3 years old now, so I was like, "Fuck it."
You know, it's fine. That's a very nice thing to do.
I wanted to give the people a treat.
So hey, if you've been looking to support us and you don't really want to go to that $10 level, we get it. That's a lot. So now there's more content for you at the $2 level. Just go check it out.
And if you were thinking about going to it, this gives you at least a little sampling of what the fuck it is we do over there.
Yes, absolutely. So good.
There you go.
Now, meanwhile, I, for New Year's Eve, showed my daughter a fake video at 8:30 p.m. of a countdown.
Ah!
Because she is 5 and does not know how to tell time yet.
Yeah.
And next year is going to be a lot harder, I think.
Oh, Everett immediately was like, I'm going to sleep. I don't want to do this shit. I don't want to be awake.
She wouldn't have made it, but she would have been grouchy all the way till the last second is where she would have been at. But she watched her video, and then we told her that everyone in the world goes to bed immediately after the fireworks for New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
Everyone just immediately turns around and walks without talking directly into their bed and goes to sleep. It's for good luck. And she's like, okay.
All right.
I'm going to ruin this kid, John. Did you know she legitimately thinks that Santa Claus was my college roommate?
Oh, good.
I needed that personal touch.
You gotta have it.
She's like, yes, and yeah, of course he was my college roommate. That, yeah, I have his email address.
We keep in touch on Facebook.
Why don't we see him around here? Oh, he briefly dated your mom before I did, and you know, as much as we kind of get along, we're really better as Facebook friends.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, he's in the North Pole, so.
Yeah, and the North Pole's a real pain in the ass to get to and from unless
we're not visiting.
Magic sleigh time. We're not going up there. There's not even a landmass there. It's all bullshit. It's just a pain in the ass to go to him. Maybe one more year of that, too.
Maybe.
Probably not. She's in school. It's not going to last another year.
No.
So anyway, when last we left our hero, who's the fucking hero in this anyway?
There are very few heroes left, given that
3 chapters this week, 3 different character or main characters for each chapter.
Yeah. So last time we had Illyria Windrunner and Terralian decided to put their morals aside and torture a mom in order to get some information about where a Dark Ranger went off to, because they are trying to find where Sylvanas is, and the Dark Rangers are the best bet to find her.
Yeah, yeah.
We visited with Apari, the troll blood worshipping spider cult priestess who wants to overthrow Talanji, the queen of the Zandalari trolls, and who is also working with Nathanos Blightcaller, who is the number two for Sylvanas.
And I think that that spider god is dead, even Yasma or whatever it was.
Well, Yasma was the priest.
The priestess of the spider god. I forget the name of the spider Loa now.
I don't know.
So spidery.
Spidey.
Spidey. It's a spidey.
It's probably Miles.
Yeah. It's definitely Miles. Miles O'Brien, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, specifically.
we call this Loa Smiley.
Miles O'Brien accidentally became the Loa of the spider people in an ordeal that was extremely embarrassing and painful for him. Yeah.
When Miles O'Brien was transported accidentally to the world of Warcraft, and then they decided he was a spider Loa, and he just kept going, please, no,
but
please
I'm,
stop this.
I'm not. Please,
I'm so
Irish. I'm a transporter.
She's so fucking Irish.
Okay, so...
And then...
The last one was Zakan talking to Buonsamdi, right?
Well... Also,
too bad.
The priestess did a ritual of sacrifice to summon a storm around Zandalar.
Yeah. Which we deal with in this episode, yes.
And then also, yes, Zakan did have a conversation with Buonsamdi where he was just like, oh shit, dude, you're a Loa, and that's wild for me because I don't come from Zandalar where you just fucking hang out with gods all the time.
Yeah, we only have backwoods Darkspear Loa on my island.
Yeah.
We got, like, you know, Fucky the Chicken Loa.
I did not quite hear you. Was that Funky or Fucky?
I believe it was the latter.
Okay.
It was Fucky the Chicken.
Good.
He's the Loa.
I was like,
he's the Loa of chickens.
Because I was like, oh, Funky Chicken. That would make sense.
No.
If it was Funky the Chicken.
I absolutely
Loa.
Did not want that to make sense.
Good.
It's spelled F-U-K-K-I. There's an apostrophe in there somewhere, but not where you think.
Not where you think.
It's at the start.
Yeah.
and he's the Loa of dancing.
Good.
He's the only Loa they have on Darkspear Island, as far as I am aware. Huh? But, you know, stay tuned, because we do bonus content on these, and maybe I'll do a deep dive into Fucky the Chicken.
Oh, Fucky the Chicken.
That sounds like
some
shit from Drawn Together.
Yep. So, yeah, they had a nice little conversation, and Buonsamdi gave Zakan a vision of the afterlife where Sarfang was basically having that, like, gladiator afterlife moment.
Running his hands through some wheat.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, my family is here, and there's wheat abounds.
Yeah. Like, it's the orc version, where they're about to go hunting. They're not farming.
Yeah, it's game abounds, and I can go hunt for food with my son.
They're not farmers. You can tell because the vision took place after 6 p.m., and they were wearing tuxedos. But
references.
You get it. But yeah, I was just asking about that the other day because there's that fucking Zack Snyder Star Wars movie, not Star Wars, on Netflix. I've not seen it, but I was talking to some people who were like, I saw it, it sucked. And I was like, can you just tell me, does it open on hand running through wheat or is there like a shock space scene and then hand runs through wheat? And they were like, it does open on farming.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't think you actually get hand running through wheat. I think it's like scything.
Uh-huh.
But apparently I was really close for someone who has not seen a moment of it. So I'm pretty proud of that. I just like, there's no way Zack Snyder doesn't do hand running through wheat in his dumb Seven Samurai pastiche. No way.
There is no possible way you do not.
Yeah. I like that it's easy to pick a correct side on the Battle of Zack Snyder bullshit, which is that Zack Snyder is a smart, nice, interesting, and good person who is also a total hack. Easy.
Done.
All right.
Got him.
Where were we? When now we join our heroes? Not really?
Eh?
Not that first chapter. Hoo boy.
God. So this one, we start with Jaina Proudmoore coming out of a portal, which I didn't know mages could portal wherever they want. I thought you could just go to towns. What are you doing, Jaina?
She's a super special mage.
She's got special mage powers.
Also, maybe that wasn't her portal. Maybe that was a void portal opened for her by Ilaria.
Nah.
We don't know.
Nah, because...
But you're right. There isn't a portal to the beach at Arathi Highlands. My guess is that the way we get around that is by saying that actually you can portal wherever the fuck you want. It's just not convenient to develop that into the UI of a game.
Yes.
So there you go. Or she just set her hearth to that guy's house.
Yeah. Weird thing. That guy's an innkeeper. You get rested XP if you hang out at this dude's house.
Yeah.
So she comes out of a portal and is immediately confronted with the picture in front of her of Illyria and Turalyon torturing some poor dude while a bunch of soldiers stand around his family while they are weeping and watching this.
Yes, and they, by torturing, I don't just mean Illyria. We don't just mean Illyria is doing it. You'd think that because she's a void elf, right? Like she's she's touched by the infinite darkness.
Well, I mean, she was torturing that orc mother before, but yeah. Turalyon was still helping then too.
Yeah, but here we see she's got his head encased in utter pure voidy darkness and is sucking brain thoughts out of his mind soul with her superpowers. Well, he's trying to wriggle away, but he can't because he's trapped in shackles of pure holy light by Turalyon.
Yeah. And
they're waterboarding this guy.
They are doing the weirdest thing to me is, so this guy is basically just a fisherman.
Yeah.
And he is, you know, he helped some fucking Dark Ranger, but they go to talk to him and they're like, oh, we should, you know, get whatever information out of him. And it's not enough to be like, oh, I'm going to rip the thoughts out of his mind. Like, it's torture, but, you know, it's torture that works because it's only torturing him for me to get this information, which I do get.
Yes. Yeah. It's like mind reading. It's forcible mind reading that happens to hurt a lot and leave you fairly scarred.
But instead of being like, okay, we're going to go do this, like, they're doing it on the beach. He's just in the sand. But they brought his family with to watch this. Like, yeah. That's the part where I'm like, Jesus Christ.
They appear to have just hauled them all out of their houses. Because they're holding the other ones. Like, it's the Void Elves, the ones who work for Illyria, are basically standing around making sure that his family, his wife and kids, don't go anywhere or try to help him while they do this to him.
Yeah. They've got full-ass, like, Stormwind soldiers as well, just hanging out, watching what's going on.
And keep in mind, this is post-BFA, so this is supposed to be a changed Jaina. Like, up until BFA, from, like, Legion through BFA, she's supposed to be, like, the hardliner of the Alliance. She's the one who's making all the stupid mistakes and going, because goblins blew up Theramore.
Yeah. So once, she's really mad Garrosh about that. Once Garrosh did a nuke on Theramore,
yeah.
She was like, all right, fuck this entire faction.
So she'd gone super hard edge, but then you have to kick some sense into her in one of the raids in BFA. And she comes out of it a changed woman, and she's like, all right, I'm nice again. I'm for the armistice.
I'm back.
I'm normal. Everything's fine.
I'm back to being good.
So she comes out, and she's like, ugh, that looks very unsavory. I don't want... So she's like, all right, Turalyon,
what the fuck is this?
What are you doing, and is that necessary? And he's like, yeah, it works. Please trust that we are doing what we need to do. And we know that he was a bad smuggler who helped this lady escape because he had this fine dagger, and does this dagger not look like it would belong in a forsaken scabbard? And I really wanted it to be like, you know, people get weapons from all kinds of people all the time in this universe. Look, you want to see my transmog closet? It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but you're an adventurer. This is some fisherman. This fisherman should drop a gray at best. Yeah.
Look at this thing. I took this off a botani. Do you even know what that is? It's like a plant guy from an alternate other dimensions past.
But yeah, Turalyon at least, like, has enough to him to at least be sensibly ashamed.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Jaina is like, holy shit, what the fuck are you doing? He manages to lose concentration. The shackles drop that were holding this dude in place. And of course, he just, like, the shackles feel entirely unnecessary because the guy just drops to the sand in pain. It's not like he was like, I'm gonna fucking get out of here now that these chains aren't on me.
I guess maybe it takes a minute or two to get that hood of pure darkness over his head, so maybe that was just like a preliminary, and then he was like, well, I'm already concentrating for it, I might as well just keep this up.
Will keep him upright at least.
Maybe it's like, for him, it's like playing Boggle or something. Like, he's like, if I am not maintaining concentration on these shackles, then I will have the mental capacity necessary to see what my wife is doing.
Aww.
I would prefer to not be aware.
But
yeah, they basically play it off. They're like, look, we have to do this. We already did get some information. And Jane is like, I feel like any information you give to Anduin based on what you're doing right now is going to be tainted by how you're doing it. Are you sure you have his blessing for this? And they're like, yes. He said, do whatever you have to get whatever information you require.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I feel like he's going to regret having said that in a minute.
And Illyria at this point is just like, Tyrallian at least is like, oh, this is regrettable and I do feel ashamed that we're doing this, but you know, I've got that whole greater good thing going on.
Yeah.
Whereas Illyria's like, fuck you, I do what I want.
Yeah.
And hey, she's just like,
she gets mad every time.
Angry.
Yeah, well, she gets mad anytime anyone insinuates that she might not be in full control of her situation.
Yes.
Because she's effectively looked into the abyss and been like, wow, neat, I can shoot abyss bolts, which is not usually what you're supposed to do when you gaze longingly into the abyss.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I touched the void, and then I got superpowers, and no problems whatsoever,
so when it,
except for these whispers in my head.
Yeah, so anytime anyone's like, hey, Illyria, are you sure? She's like, how dare you? Of course I'm sure. So,
I don't need Tyrallian to control me.
Yeah.
I can control myself. Now let me get back in that guy's head.
Yeah. So here's what they managed to dig out of this guy in front of his family. That he did, in fact, help a ranger lady. They gave her a boat, and that she said that she had to sail west. And Jaina is like, well, there's only one thing west from Arathi Highlands that would be relevant for anything, which is the coast of Xandalar.
Yeah.
So we know he's on his way to the coast, or she is on her way to the coast of Xandalar.
Now, as soon as, you know, Illyria and Tyrallian are sort of done, like, this guy collapses, Jaina goes over and is like, and now I'll be good cop.
Yeah.
And just sort of like she cradles apologizes. His head and is like, I'm so sorry. You know, what? I understand what's going on. And he's like, oh, I just took the dagger because there was no fish. Like, I had to feed my family.
Unnatural storms have chased away the fish. So we know that the storm season has already started and is making things worse, even all the way over here in Arathi.
Yeah. And then he gives the final clue for them, which is like, oh, when the bright lady is full, you won't be a, like, he had to get there. She had to get to the coast before the bright lady is full or no ships would pass.
Yeah, which is some weird Azeroth cosmology shit that you almost never hear anyone talk about when you're actually playing the game. I find it wild that we very rarely hear anyone mention the moon in Azeroth. I would have thought we'd have conquered it by now.
Nah, man, that's a whole ass god. Tyrande will kick your ass if you try and conquer the moon. Also, they don't have crypto. They can't go to the moon.
Ilun is not the moon. She is the god of the moon.
Yeah, and the moon. Also, my girlfriend. My girlfriend is the moon.
And a fish.
That's rough, buddy.
I feel like you and I need to have an adventure. Ah, man, so, but yeah, so the Bright Lady is the moon of Azeroth, and so immediately, instead of having to solve this, because at first when I was reading, I was like, oh, it must be some puzzle, whatever the Bright Lady, we're going to solve the mystery of this. And thankfully, Jaina just goes, oh, okay, when's the next full moon?
And Tyrallian, like, does some quick head math, and he's like, oh, shit, we got, like, 6 days.
And she's like, great, that means I got to go tell Anduin, and I'm going to tell him everything that I saw here.
Yeah.
Everything.
And Illyria's just... like,
literally
leans in close and does the, like, whisper in the ear. Is like, is this really the time to be tattling?
Literally tattling. Are you going to go tattle? And she's like, I'm just going to tell Anduin. Well, there's a callback, because there's a line when she comes in and it's something like let what happens happen or something like that.
It's in the fullness of time, you'll know why we're doing this.
Yes, that was it. So when she first gets there, she's like, whoa, don't torture a guy. What the fuck? We're the Alliance. You should be torturing him with this thing instead.
I've got a little needler you can use.
You got a gnome thing you should be torturing him with. Not just magic.
I got a little gnome device that looks like a badger and will absolutely mess a guy up.
I've got this gnome device to use. It's a bucket. You're going to put it over his head and hit it.
Dong.
But it's gnome.
Oh, wait. That's a dwarven device.
Yes, dongs are dwarven devices.
Hey, now.
So, but yeah, she's like, I'm going to go talk to Anduin. And literally, Illyria's like, what are you going to do? Tattle. And she's like, yeah, soon you'll understand what I had to do. Huh? Put that in your craw. Yeah, I'm going to go tattle.
Yes, I am.
Which, she teleports to Stormwind. And we're done with Illyria and Tyrallian, thankfully.
Yeah.
There's no promise this time to be like, hey, what's weird to me is that they feel like they need to torture this guy when they went to that encampment of refugees last time. We're like, we don't want to torture any of you. We'll give you blankets and food. We'll get the Alliance to come in and help you out. Like, this guy'd be much easier. He's not even on the run. He's an Alliance.
Yeah, he's a Lordaeron member. Citizen.
Yeah.
He is just some fisherman. You think you could go up and be like,
hey
man, what happened here? And then if he's like, oh, I don't want to tell you because, like, oh, what if I get in trouble? If they were like, look, dude, I see you've got that dagger. I understand you probably did this for money.
Yeah.
You can keep the dagger.
Yeah.
Just tell me what the fuck happened.
Also, just don't move, and we'll have Ironforge send up a big old load of fish and shit for you. Don't worry about it.
Can you just send the fish, and you leave the shit. It's fine.
No, dwarves always include a big bag of shit in every order.
You gotta.
That's the crypto promise.
A big bag of shit in every order. That's our promise here at System Mastery.
That's right.
A big bag of shit in every order.
That's why we don't sell any physical objects.
Yep.
Well, we used to. I took down the Etsy page or whatever it was I was using to sell the pins because I had to like connect my unconnected to an email address or bank email address.
Ugh.
And I was like, pass. No one's buying these pins anyway. I'm going to wait till we start going back to cons.
Ah.
So to get back to the point.
Point.
Jaina goes off to Stormwind, where she immediately finds that Anduin is not in his throne room. Instead, it's full of nobles and random petitioners and so on. He's off in that one room where they have all the maps, and he's hanging out with Gen Greymane and looking at maps and being like, wartime! Troops!
I mean, except it's peacetime, no troops!
Oh, right, they're an armistice.
Yeah.
Spies, probably war. We hate the Horde.
It's, where is Sylvanas? I'm playing Where in the World is Sylvanas Windrunner,
yeah.
And I only have the warrant.
Why don't you just queue for the Kill Sylvanas dungeon? I don't understand why you haven't just done that yet. You just press H.
You should probably go ask the Hero of the Alliance to go do that for you.
Hasn't that been a problem for you reading this book as well? Like if I'm being honest, every time they're like, we found her. We found the Dark Ranger. She's sailing west towards west towards Zuldazar. We have to catch her before she gets there. How are we going to get there? I don't know. I'll contact Matthias Shaw and we'll get a ship together. And I'm like, just contact that one guy that the player character is and just that does everything.
You know that one guy that does everything for you?
Remember that guy that started by killing Ragnaros and has subsequently killed every single villain we've ever encountered? Why don't we ask them?
You know that guy who's killed like just multiple old gods? Maybe send that guy.
He's killed like four old gods and one fake old god, plus the thing that made the old gods. We should just get this dude.
That dude's fucking crazy.
You know how hard it is to find that guy? Right now he's running some temple again because it drops a mount.
That guy is somewhere in another dimension fighting a thing he has fought 57 times before because he needs a pet. And when I asked him why did he need that pet, he just went, well, why wouldn't I? He has 380 pets. He needed another one.
He really does. I'm pretty sure I have well over 1,000.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of pets in the game.
There's a lot.
You can catch a lot of pets if you want. But she goes to talk to Anduin. Anduin's excited to see her because she's always been a friend to the, except for the last two expansions. She's always been a friend to the Alliance. And specifically to Anduin.
She has... very much been like
an aunt.
Anduin's like, cool aunt.
She's the party aunt.
Yeah.
Aunt to Anduin.
She's the one who's like, I'm going to let you have a little wine and then we're going to watch some fun movies.
And he's like, it's the vaguely Middle Ages. I already get wine. They put it in baby bottles.
I'm eight and I've had so much wine.
I've never had water.
I don't know what water tastes like.
Usually it tastes like magic if I have it at all because it's mage conjurations.
Here, special magic water. All right.
Fine. Ugh. Special gnomish water. It tortures you.
Oh, it's so cold. Yes, that's torture, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a gnome. I made that water cold.
So he sees her and he's like, oh God, thank, it's Jaina. Please tell me you have good news. And she's like,
yes,
I have an open face good news sandwich.
And she's like, okay, I don't want to talk about Illyria and Trallian specifically in front of Gen to start with. Cause she's like, that dude has a short temper to start with. And it has gotten minuscule with the armistice. Cause he is just angry at all times and has nothing to take it out on.
Yeah, I don't know what she's worried he would do in this scenario. I mean, he's pretty justice focused, so I feel like the worst thing he'd do is get mad at Illyria and Tyrallian.
Yeah.
But then what? It's not like he's a mage. He's not hearthing his way right back over there to bother them. He's going to have to go into his stupid Worgen running form and
bark, bark.
So she's like, yeah, we found the ranger. Her name's Viris. She's on her way to Zandalar.
And we have 6 days.
And they're like, well, fuck, that's great. That's a glimmer of hope. We've got something.
That's the best lead we've gotten so far.
Contact Matthias Shaw. He's got better sea legs than anyone else. And have him get a ship together and go, go, go. And Gen's like, whoa, your majesty, don't you want to send, like, me or a big fleet or anything like that? And I was like, why don't you send one of those cool airships you have?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Nah. You know those are faster, right?
Nah.
Or contact that one hero who always does everything.
No, we just finished an expansion and we got boat guys. We're using the boat.
We have cool Tyrans. We got to use boat guys. I'm like, why don't you send the Skyfire? That fucking giant airship you always seem to have, even though I think I've watched it crash twice.
At least.
Yeah. Because it's in that underground zone in Cataclysm. I'm pretty sure it's on the ground. And then again in
look, man,
BFA or Legion. It crashes a lot. That thing's always on the ground.
Repairs.
Yeah. Well, send it, because it's faster, and it would go up above the storms. Or no? No, I guess not. Okay, we're using Matthias.
But yeah, he's like, oh, we're not going to send a whole bunch of ships as well, because we, A, don't want to alert anyone that we're coming, and B, we don't want to spook the Horde. We just got into an armistice, and if we go rolling up on one of their allies with a fleet, that's going to look bad.
Right. I'm like... Even then, you're right. You're absolutely right that they probably shouldn't send the giant airship because it would be spotted and that would probably ruin the whole armistice situation. Sure. But you know what else they have from Cataclysm that you rarely see mentioned anymore?
Is it mole machines?
It's submarines.
Oh, okay.
They have real working submarines. Remember when you did that water zone?
No.
You're all underwater. In Cataclysm, one of the zones, I think it was, I forget what it was called, but it was...
I remember having a seahorse.
Yeah, Vashjir. Thank you. That was the name of the zone. It was all underwater, and there was a submarine that everyone who wasn't you was using to get from one Hearthstone to the next.
Aww.
So, and it's Gnomish. They have one. Go send that thing. That'd be really useful right now.
Probably.
Who cares? So he's like, Gen, go do that. And Gen's like, yes, sir. And he leaves. And this is Jaina's chance to tattle.
Yeah, and she's just like, all right, well... Anduin, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Illyria and Turalyon were very naughty today in class.
Like, look, when I showed up...
They had to sit on the wall.
They were straight up torturing an Alliance citizen for information, and I get the impression it's getting easier for them to do so.
And, you know, she's just like, I need to know what you're going to do, because, you know, how do you think... This reflects on, you know, you that they're out there doing this.
Yeah.
And Anduin straight up just goes over and is like, oh, hold on. Before I answer you, I need to get near this crackling fire and get some shadows on the wall real quick before I do my speech about what must be done.
Yes. Yeah. And he tries every tactic he can come up with to justify this and let it slide unmentioned. Because he's like, look, those two are like the greatest heroes the Alliance has ever had. They
know what justice
they
is.
They obviously know what they're doing. And she's like, yeah, you know, that's what I thought about myself until I went all murder hobo, like, what, two expansions ago? Can we focus? People change, and right now they are changing in a bad way. And he's like, hey, I trust them. And also
he's like,
you did. I seem to remember when you thought justice mattered a great deal. Whatever happened to that? And she's like, I was crazy. I was a raid boss.
Yeah, I had to get beat up by that guy over there who just keeps showing up to beat things up.
Check it out. I have a chicken mount. Bye.
Hey, I'm riding a phoenix. Bye.
I'm going to go to a battleground. I'm still at war.
We're having a skirmish. Yeah, the...
Fuck the Horde. I want Alterac Valley. Good day.
Woo. Now give me a black elephant.
I want a black elephant. I want a cool one.
Yeah, but she's also just like, you gotta know that this isn't good. And he's like, well, I think that what it reflects on my kingdom is that we're willing to do what it takes to get justice, and we're hardline on crime, and also something job creator or whatever.
You're gonna have to change his fucking Netflix password, because apparently Anduin's been watching a lot of Gen's 24. Yeah, he's just like, yeah, the ends justify the means, right? Don't you remember when you thought that? She's like, that was bad. I thought a bad thing. She actually gets proud of herself at that point. There's a part where she like throws her shoulders back and she's like, yeah, no, I changed. I don't do that shit anymore.
I sucked then.
Yeah.
I was bad.
Way to drag up my, yeah, you're right. I was a bad person. I'm trying not to be, and I'm also trying not to let you send out a couple of highly trained, ultra high level bulldogs to torture our own people. And he's like, if they were that bad, would we have statues to them at the entrance to Stormwind? And she's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't build statues. Well, she doesn't say this, but this is me thinking it. Yeah, you probably shouldn't build statues of alive guys.
Yeah.
That's a really good, because usually they can still fuck up.
Here's the thing. Illyria can 100% milkshake duck herself right now.
Wait for them to cack it, then build those statues.
Yeah. Wait until you know everything they've done.
I mean, I know that we thought they were dead when we built the Valley of Heroes or whatever the fuck, but still, maybe go change those statues to someone else. High elves mostly look like each other. Change that one to Varisa Windrunner, her sister. Ah. It's fine.
You know, the one that didn't go insane.
She's out there still just being an elf.
The one Windrunner who's like, no, I didn't get all corrupted by anything. I'm still cool.
And Tyrallian looks enough like Khadgar that we could just make it into a comedy Khadgar statue. It's fine. I know he's also still alive.
Comedy Khadgar statue.
That's why it's a comedy Khadgar, because he's also still alive.
Yeah. Oh, you should make a statue of Medivh. That guy never did anything bad.
Oh, yeah, he's perfectly fine. Yeah.
Medivh did nothing wrong. My new shirt. Oh, for all of those who don't know WoW lore, these jokes have got to be absolutely landing every single one.
These are the best jokes you've ever heard. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Lord.
So anyway, yeah. But basically, he's just unwilling to change. He gets over by the fire. He's got his hand on the wolfhound and his other hand the snifter of brandy. And he's like, no, I believe I'm chosen the right path.
Justice will see the day through.
Mm. She's like, yeah, be careful, because the definition of justice is written by people who aren't you.
Yeah. You will be remembered for this. We'll see how that is remembered.
Yeah, one way or another, you will be remembered for this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she right.
Yeah.
What's weird is that the torture already accomplished the thing, so it really wouldn't have hurt him that bad to just give them a quick medieval magical phone call and be like, yeah,
maybe don't.
You guys got caught, so I'm supposed to slap your wrist a little. Here you go. Bap, bap. Don't do that. Bye.
Hey, you're going on a 1 month leave with full pay.
Uh-huh. I'm shipping over a big barrel of fish and shit, right? Yeah, obviously.
Yes, clearly, duh.
Anyway, that was a lot for the first chapter.
Yeah. Second chapter. Now, on to the boat that we'll be chasing.
Yeah, it's Matthias and minor BFA character Flynn Fairwind.
Yeah, I have not played through BFA, so I do not know who the fuck this guy is, but I was like, man, you've got enough personality and your name is mentioned enough that I have to assume you're a guy I should know.
You meet him really early on in the BFA storyline. He's not super important. He's like a local scoundrel. He's like a Han Solo type.
Uh-huh.
And he's interesting insofar as he's probably one of the major characters in the that's Kul Tiran, part of the Kul Tiran faction, and is just a regular guy. He's not a Kul Tiran. He doesn't use the model.
Yes. He's not huge. Whereas we do have someone who uses the Kul Tiran model in this,
yeah,
their Tide
Melly,
Sage.
The Tide Sage, yeah. But his deal is just that he's like a local scoundrel who knows what's going on. He's integral to the Kul Tira storyline itself, like the stuff that takes place in Borealis.
Yeah.
After that, he kind of mostly seems to disappear from the story, but he's fun, so I'm not surprised they're using him.
Yeah.
Almost every quest involved with him is him accidentally getting drunk or knocked on the head, so he's confused, or having to hide in a barrel of stinky fish and shit.
Well, yes.
Yeah,
it was a shipment from the dwarves.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So he's just a fun comedy character. But Matthias is on a boat called the Proud Arva, and they are sailing to try and catch this virus lady. I think it's Vinus, but it doesn't matter. And Matthias is talking to Flynn, and Flynn's being a goofy drunk.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has that Han Solo thing to him where he's like, oh, I got this ship and I won it in a gambling match. Can you believe it? Used to be called the Prowse. What the fuck is a Prowse? I called it the Bold Arva.
Well, the Bold Arva sucks. Prowse is clearly, it was named after the Chewbacca actor.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, wait, that's Mayhew. Prowse is the Darth Vader actor. I'm going to get so many letters.
So many letters.
Angry letters.
They've already been written in the
shit.
3 seconds it took you
I
to
can't
rectify
stop them.
That. They've already been written and mailed.
I can't stop them. Even though I can name both the Chewbacca actors. And that second one is hard because his name is weird. Aww. I mean, for Americans.
For
it's
Americans.
It's like Jonas Suatuomo or something like that. Mm. Anyway, where were we?
Nah.
Me getting
talking
yelled
about,
at.
Yeah. talking about this guy, Flynn Fairweather, who...
Wind.
Whatever.
Wind weather.
Fuck him. Fair Finned Weather.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Glorfindel. Yeah.
So the two of them are talking, and basically he's like, yeah, I named it after my first mate, and blah, 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 and we're really fast. Don't worry, we'll definitely catch them. And trying to get Matthias to admit stuff, but Matthias is an old spy and doesn't want to.
And Matthias is, we've got that whole, like, odd couple thing going on, because Flynn is just nonstop talking. He's drunk and gregarious and regaling with tales, and Matthias is just sitting there like, maybe if I pretend that he doesn't exist, he'll stop talking to me. Because, as well, like, when Anduin sent him out, he was like, oh, we'll send Matthias, because, I mean, he's my spy master, so that's good to send him out to go do this. But he's gotten his sea legs since he was doing stuff on the Kul'tiran front.
Barely, and, apparently.
Yeah, and he's on that boat like, oh, fucking, I hate boats so goddamn much. Why am I here?
I mean, yeah, he technically, in the BFA expansion, he is on a boat the whole time, but it rarely goes anywhere. It mostly sits there in the harbor, and it's where you go to do all your, like, send out three guys and have them come back with some XP for me missions.
Ah. I need a guy to go collect XP off a guy.
Yeah, I think he sails it to the Zandalari Islands three times total.
Nice.
Yeah, each time you have to go over there and establish a foothold, he goes out there with you. But that's not a hard sail or anything. So
what
are you going to do? But yeah, so the two of them are arguing. They talk a little bit about how there's this Tide Sage they had to import at the last second from the Proudmoor military. Her name's Melly, and she seems like a weird person, but she ended up getting along with the rest of the crew perfectly fine.
Yeah, she, you know, is the Kul'tiran model, so she's just stacked.
Yeah, apparently Flynn's ship is entirely stacked with regular humans, because they're like, she's a head taller than everybody. And I'm like, yeah, but the Kul'tiran humans, what about does she have any of those big dudes?
No.
Nope, guess not. Well, Flynn is Kul'tiran. He's from Kul'tiras.
Yeah, but he's not the model.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean that everyone he hangs out with isn't. They don't segregate like that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, this boat is full of normal humans. Good, normal, regular humans.
Right. Plus Melly, the Tide
Sage. Non-thick humans. And then a big, thick Tide Sage.
Now, I don't want to go too deep into what a Tide Sage is and does, because I feel like that might be someone's bonus content this month.
Might be.
Might be. But effectively, just to put it in like three words, that's the Kul'tiran shaman.
She's the water wizard.
Yeah. So she's
she fights the Flash,
you,
I think.
You really want one of them on your ship. Now, as they're going up, there's like, oh, I think we see some storms on the horizon. So this is Flynn's chance to get serious. He's like, great, hoist the mizzen sail. Walk the litter planks.
Walk the dinosaur. Poop. Everybody, get on the floor.
Everybody poop those fish decks.
Yeah, we got it. We got the shipment from the dwarves.
So he's getting everybody ready, and then the actual storm happens, and it fucks the ship up directly. It nearly throws Matthias overboard. It appears to just straight up kill some gnome. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Oh, no, that was just a gnome seeing him.
Oh, is that what it was? It was just watching him go by?
Yeah,
we had like a slow-mo moment.
Yeah, it's a gnome swinging on one of those ropes, like, up from the top mast, mm-hmm. and it just looking down going, oh, fuck.
and that'll likely
Matthias go overboard.
That'll be the only gnome in this book, is my guess. They hate it when they actually have to do cinematics featuring gnomes in the actual games. Why would the books be any different?
Wow. So, yeah, Matthias gets battered around before getting straight up dropped overboard, but caught at the last second by Flynn,
mm-hmm.
who manages to pull him up and is like, ah, see, nobody goes overboard on my ship.
Told you. Now crawl into the main deck. This sucks.
You crawl your dumb ass down below decks.
Yeah. So he gets below decks, hangs out down there until things abate enough that he can come back out. There's a screamed conversation between Fairwind and one of his sailors where they're like, hey, did you spot any flat areas? And they're like, yeah, go towards that, please. Thank you. Okay.
And then they're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm glad that's over. And then they hear some screaming and a moist and burnt cabin boy comes running in and is like, so, and he's like, fire? Really? During a storm? God damn it.
And apparently the ship got struck by lightning and is now on fire.
But so, it managed to get struck by lightning basically as it got out of the storm.
Yeah.
So the big waves that were crashing against it and the rain and everything stopped directly after their, like, sails caught fire.
Yeah, so now the ship's on fire, and they both go rushing up to the main deck to see what's going on, and fire's creeping down the mast and burning the sails and is getting really close to them powder barrels.
Yep.
And then Melly comes out, our Tide Sage hero, who's just like, chain heel, it puts water all over the place. Water, 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 water.
Riptide, here we go.
Water, there you go.
That's fine.
Everything's water.
Healing
all right.
Rain, there we go.
And then she gets a big round of applause. Everyone loves Melly. Melly's the big hero of the day. She gains a level and learns a new spell. And and right as she does that, they're like, Matthias Shaw, mechanical robo shark for you, sir.
You got a mechanical shark, sir. I think it's here to torture you.
And sure, no kidding, a wind-up shark has pulled up alongside the ship, and he's like, yep, it's gnomish technology. They travel efficiently underwater.
Yeah,
so
it means I can get messages. I'm still the spy master, even if I'm on a boat.
So that means I use these to do that. And I'm like, why don't you use magic, my boy?
Because that doesn't work. You can't just open a portal to anywhere.
Yeah,
unless you're Jaina.
You can. You just they got fucking Dalaran mages coming out of their ears that can do shit like that.
Ah.
I mean, also the other there's two questions this creates. Number one, why is he using a robot shark when he could just use magic or whatever to get this message across much more easily? Especially, just have a hunter use his pet, tie a thing to its bird leg, and have it fly out there using that eagle eye command.
As he says in the book, it is much less conspicuous than like a homing pigeon would be.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, with this, a bird wouldn't make it through that storm.
Yeah, and if you have underwater shark technology, fucking catch Vinus with that thing.
Nah.
Or a bigger one. Make a big robot shark and get
that
out
the
there.
The big shark.
Look, nothing has ever been not improved with a giant robot shark.
Yeah. Jaws, obviously improved by a giant robot shark.
Bruce was amazing. See, that's just a perfect model for what you should do here. Mecha shark versus Godzilla or whatever.
Unimpeachable.
Unimpeachable. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. So he takes his shark full of codes downstairs to read at his leisure.
And
Fairwind follows him.
Yeah. Flynn goes after, and this is the point where I was like, dude, Matthias, what are you doing? You're the head of SI7. You are the spy master. And he even is talking about, he's like, oh, I don't know if everyone on this boat is trustworthy. Like, sure, we had to get it all together pretty quickly. So, you know, Flynn says everyone on this ship is trustworthy, but it got pulled together at a moment's notice. So not everyone could have been vetted as much as they probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just shares all the information with fucking Flynn. And I'm like, I feel like a random gregarious pirate is not the motherfucker you tell your secret spy info to.
Oh, for sure, because he tells him who all of his spies are.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I've got, spies in the Horde. So, one, fucking why are you telling this pirate that? And then he's like, anyway, these are the names of them, and I'm just going to fully burn my fucking spies to you. And the guy knows one of them.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, shit!
Krizek the Bishop or whatever it was.
I know that guy. I used to fucking drink with that guy.
I lost a parrot to him in a bet, and it turns out that guy's got a whole parrot theme.
He's got a whole parrot kink.
Because they're like, yeah, he's turned, and he does goblin reporting for me on the Horde. Oh, what'd you have to pay him to turn him? It's been a while. Oh, it was a lot of parrots. I had to give him, like, a weird amount of parrots.
Just an odd amount of parrots. It was some achievement he was trying to get.
I had to give him an odd number of parrots. One.
Yes. Yes.
Two would have been wrong.
Yeah, but three would have been fine. But yeah, he just is like, oh, I've got this blood elf, and this is her name, and she works for money, and she's been watching Lorthamar, and let me read out what her entire report on Lorthamar is.
And her report on Lorthamar is weird for something written in secret shorthand, isn't it? Because it was just like, he lies awake at night and pines for something, or is thinking deep thoughts. Always writing, always reading, reading. And I'm like, why are you writing like it's a poem? This is a secret note
to
send to a guy.
I assumed the thing where he was like, Lorthamar is sitting in his room reading, reading, reading. I was like, oh, those are entries. It's like,
oh, yeah,
day,
same thing.
Day three, reading. Day
four,
reading.
It's all one paragraph. So either she's running run-on paragraphs for no reason as she watches for days
and days.
Well,
this is him saying it out loud.
I assume she's just so super poetic that she just writes like that all the time. And he's like, why did I bother teaching her shorthand? I should have just sent her with a fucking quill pen.
He's gently napping. Then there came a tapping.
Ah, he's breasting boobily down the stairs now. He appears to be tittering. So she's
but
watching Lorthamar.
Lorthamar is horny for Thalissra is what we get from that.
Yeah, he's way into High Arcanist Thalissra.
He's like, oh, the dark lily bends towards the sun. And you're like, Okay, I get it. Uh-huh. I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, gross.
Ew. Don't.
Besides, everyone knows the Dark Lily is Magatha Grim Totem. So anyway, and the other one is Grizek, the bishop, who's like, who was had eyes on the assassination attempt at Talanji that was in the first couple chapters of this book.
Yeah, and of course, that Flynn immediately is like, oh, well, if there's an assassination attempt on her and she's here, and then they sent a spy, Zakan, to go check on her, then maybe they don't trust her, and maybe she's working with Sylvanas. And Matthias is like, please, this is not your job. Do
no,
not do
don't,
this.
Don't do that. That's not what's going on. Like, they're going to send a spy with her because they need to know what she's doing.
Yeah.
They're probably sending the spy to try and keep her in the Horde, not to spy on her for when she inevitably leaves.
Yes.
So no, I don't think that's accurate.
I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. But then Fairwind does have a good idea where he's like, oh, well, wait a minute. If things are happening to her there right now, then she probably, as soon as she got there, ordered to have the land shut down by shamans or whatever. That could easily explain why we're being marauded by storms that seem to be targeting us.
Yeah.
And that's when Matthias goes, no, that's... Oh, no, wait, that's actually a good idea.
Oh, yeah, no, that is plausible.
Stupid pirate.
Goddamn son of a bitch, I hate you so much. Oh no, kiss me.
You're getting an even number of parrots, buddy. So handsome.
So goddamn pretty. Fucking hate you so much. You're so loud and drunk, and your lips are so soft.
I just want to have pirate sex. I mean, angry at you.
Oh, and I just want to get lost in your eyes for days.
Oh, and then they bone down.
That's the end of the chapter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we pan away.
Actually, the end of the chapter is, hey, another storm is coming.
Yeah, Melly pops in and is like, more storms, everybody.
Hey, good news, more storms.
Uh-huh. I want them to be like, and she is also reiterating. She's like, look, I'm an expert on storms. That's like my whole thing.
This is fucked.
These storms are aimed at us. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure if anyone knows they're aimed at us or if they're like aimed at ships, but they are coming for us.
Yeah. And then our last chapter, we head back over to Nathanos Blightcaller
standing
and
in the
Apari.
Swamps. Yeah, he's standing in the swamps in Nazmir. Yeah, so it's Apari, Nathanos Blightcaller, and Syrah Moonwarden.
Yeah.
Plus Vinus or whatever is here. So she's already landed. And
really?
She's the one who drops off that chest in front of Apari and picks it back up.
Oh. Right.
So she's already landed and has already rejoined the Horde. She will not get caught in the open ocean.
Aw, sad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they are mostly hanging around in the swamps at the start of it. Syrah and Nathanos just being like, ugh, being undead in a swamp is the worst because all the bugs are constantly around you because, you know, you're a corpse.
Well, it's Syrah who's annoyed, and she's not undead. Syrah's a moon, or she's a night elf warden.
Yeah, that is undead.
Oh, she's undead? I thought she was a regular warden. She just got turned to the bad guy side. I didn't know.
Oh,
she
no,
was also
she
dead.
Died and then got turned by Sylvanas.
That's fine. That's fine. That makes sense. That makes sense to me now. Yeah. All right. I thought she was just a turncoat.
No, she's just mean and shitty.
That was driving me nuts that she was the one who was like, I hate this. I hate waiting in the swamp. I'm not a patient person. I'm like, yes, you are. You're a night elf warden. You are your entire life is being a prison guard for one guy.
Yeah, no, except now she was like, oh, I died and got rezzed, and now I've decided that the only thing that matters is absolutely fucking everyone's shit up.
Yeah, because the only point of the fucking wardens was to stand there and make sure Illidan didn't get out for 4,000 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't
good
need 4, a lot
000.
Of them. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they probably did more stuff. They were probably bothering the broken out in Outland or whatever the fuck.
Just
who knows?
Bothering them.
Who knows?
Not even doing it. Just like, hey, buddy,
hey. Hey, I'm Maiev Shadow Song or whatever. Hey, I'm going to poke you.
My shoulders are improbable.
No one's ever going to get this armor. The cape's too weird.
This whole look is fucking wild.
Yeah.
Poke.
But yeah, she's just griping about it, where Nathanos doesn't give a shit. And for a second, I was like, that's because she's alive. That would make more sense to me, that the bugs are just mosquitoes and they want blood, and he don't got any.
No, Nathanos is like, oh, she's new. She isn't used to this.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, I have bugs circling me, but, you know, I've been undead for so goddamn long that I'm like, yeah, whatever. There are bugs. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But she is very recently turned. I mean, not like super, super, but still very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, oh, this sucks. And I hate living things.
Yeah. So they're watching the bush until finally they see they have their own night or dark rangers that are helping guard them. But at a certain point, Nathanos notes that the trolls are trying to sneak up on them. The blood trolls that he was dealing with earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Like Apari and her people.
Syrah does not. He's like, hey, you see that shadow over there?
Yeah, they are.
And she's like, huh? Oh, fuck. What do you know?
Yeah. Crappy warden. The worst.
Yeah. Just sucks at her job.
You know, well, the one who was alive and got turned was the Legion one. It was Cordana Felsong or something like that. I'm getting my wardens confused. I apologize.
Fell to the wrong thing.
Yeah. This one's undead. The other one's fell. Whatever. Yep. So you know, she's like, oh, yeah, look at that. And it's supposed to just be like Nathanos is a badass ranger.
Yes. And he's like, he just whistles at them to let them know that he sees them, and they all stand up, and they're like, all right, fine.
Yeah, I don't know why they were sneaking up on him in the first place.
Well, he is just like, oh, good, I'm glad they're doing that, because there's less chance anyone will see them if they do this.
Yeah, but they come walking up, and he's like, great, good. Hey, I expect you to be on time next time. You were late. I know you're very injured, but that doesn't fucking matter to me. And she's like, I'm not injured. What the fuck are you talking about? Now, for the record, Apari has one leg that's about to rot and fall off.
Yes.
Like,
he's like, oh, I understand you are incapacitated in certain ways. She's like, fuck you.
No, I'm not. Leave me the fuck alone. And it's weird that she's decided to keep that as an ongoing concern in a world where there's like a priest every 10 feet.
Yeah, but
like,
this is a weird magic thing. That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. You can't just cast cure magic or detox or whatever the fuck spell.
Yeah.
Everyone's got one. Well, I only know the monk one.
Resurrections are only for player characters.
I didn't say res. It's for disease removal.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, same thing. Like Vol'jin gets stabbed in Legion or whatever. And they're like, can't heal that.
Yeah.
No one can cast a heal on that.
Some priest nearby like, woonch, woonch, woonch. Oh, I'm sorry. I was casting this on myself for no reason.
I'm sorry. I was casting Levitate and then Leap of Faith and pulling my friend off of a building. That's the shit we get up to.
What are you guys up to? Anyone up for a duel? No potions?
Anyone?
I just love the idea that the player characters are running around
in the background.
In the background of this story, just being the worst fucking assholes. They're just like, Gen Greymane has arrived. He spreads dark tidings of what has happened at Gilne. Why are you dancing naked on a mailbox?
And they're like, can someone stop that man? They're like, that man has killed more gods than you can name.
You talking about that man over there who stopped Sargeras when he stabbed the planet? No, we can't do anything to him.
No, I'm sorry. The wielder of Ashbringer? No, we cannot stop him from dancing naked on a mailbox.
He's very important.
He has earned the right.
In fact, I think you're next for being teabagged, it says here on my chart.
I do have the teabag chart for the week.
He's interested if you're interested if you'd like to run Shadow Labs with him. Oh no, it says he wants you to go by yourself.
He wants you to run Shadow Labs.
Missive from the mysterious dancing mailbox man. He would like to know if you know why it's called an Xbox 360. I'm sorry, I have no time for such... he says it's because when you come up to it, you turn 360 degrees and walk away. That doesn't even... Ah, I'm infuriated.
Also, he wants to know if you know where Mankirk's wife is? These jokes are landing. Every one of them.
Every one of these is the best joke you've ever heard in your life. We're going to get a Netflix special off this shit. Or we would if we were slightly more transphobic about it. That's right. I've got political material now.
That's right.
It's a new year.
I'm doing political stuff and crypto.
That's right. I'm fucking Superman's dog. I just want to get the word out there.
Goddamn.
So, the fandom streams. So anyway, he's like, yeah, whatever. Just be on time next time. Anyway, here's the payment we agreed upon. And comes over and has Vinus, that lady that everyone's trying to catch, drop a big old chest full of wondrous jewels and bejeweled daggers and gold and merchandise and also a bag of shit.
And, you know, I love when they're describing what's in there. It's like, oh, there's jewels and well-crafted things and booze. And I'm like, what? Why?
I don't know. I mean, this lady won't even treat her own injured leg. She probably doesn't care about having some whiskey or whatever.
Yeah. But they drop a chest full of, you know, all the fats they had.
Yeah, they had good shit, and you know, which one is this? Sierra. Sierra's like, why are we giving them cool shit? We don't need to do that. This
our
is a
funds
heathen.
Are pretty low. This We're not- on the run,
and he's like, it's worthwhile payment for a mission done correctly. I don't give a shit. But Apari sees it, is like, that's not the price I agreed on. I said something dear to you.
Yeah, I wanted something precious, not precious that you think like gold is. I need something that's actually sentimentally precious.
Yeah. And, you know, this is an affront to Nathanos, who doesn't show it, though. He's just like, fine, take it away. So Vinus comes out.
Oh, gets, Sierra. He's Sierra immediately like, oh, you're going to let her talk to you like that? Aren't you a cool badass? And he's like, I will fuck you up if you don't shut up.
Yeah,
now.
He turns around and he goes, at a certain point, I will have to teach you the value of silence. And she sees him and she's like, oh, shit, I just pissed off the raid boss.
Oh, I fucked up.
Like, I think I'm a level 5 dungeon boss. This guy's a raid boss.
Yeah, I'm a 5 man. This guy's a 25 man.
Yeah, we are not the same.
Your girl is in my raid getting my mount. We are not the same.
See, I do meme content now. Yeah.
Hey, political meme content about fucking Superman's dog. But yes, she's... Apari's just like, no, I needed something else. And Nathanos is like, well, fuck you. You'll take what we give you. And she's like, no, I'm good. Bye.
She just turns and walks. And
Sierra thinks, oh, this is one of those bluffs where they're going to like turn and then we have to be like, hey, we'll give you more or whatever. And she's like, ugh, I don't want to give these people more. But they're like, no, we're fully out. We do not give a shit.
Yeah, we only wanted that one thing, and it's not because it's valuable to us. It's because it's a fucking spell component. That's the only thing we give a shit about is the mission. So I think Nathanos runs through this in his head and comes to that conclusion, that it's not that they're trying to push him for more. It's that they literally need something of precious worth to him to make a spell work.
Yeah, because Apari's like, look, you want us to kill Alola. You want Bwon Somdi dead? You have to actually fuck him up. He is a god, so we need to like go to his temples, desecrate his shit, fuck him up with spells and nonsense. Like, we have to put in some legwork here.
Yeah, you gotta thin out his worshippers. It's a whole thing.
I don't just have a scroll of kill Loa.
Yeah.
So,
and even if we have seen in the past that you can just kill Alola. Like, oh, Harik goes down like a bitch in that game. But
look, man. All of those fucking, whatever the Northrend trolls were, just fully ate their Loa.
Yeah, so you can kill him easy, but I feel like Bwon Somdi is the one where you call out a special case. Like, can you even kill him? He is the god of the dead.
Yeah, but he got that job. Like, he didn't start there.
Yeah, but does it come with any perks related to this, is the question I have.
Eh.
Once you kill him, does he just pop back up and be like, yeah, I decided I'm not dead?
Nah, man, that's why you have to eat him. You gotta consume him like the trolls in Northrend did.
I guess that's fair. And then you become Bwon Somdi, and so you can drop a Bwon Somdi mount.
Ride around on Bwon Somdi. That fucking rule. Just every time you summon him, he goes, this is so degrading.
Yeah, he could be the second mount that talks after that, like, Legion mount for the monks, where it goes like, where are we going today, Grandmaster? Every time you turn him on.
Ugh.
Which is weird that you have to turn on your mount.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff you have to do.
Yeah.
Press F2 that, stroke.
He's got that Jim Cummings doing the Asian accent voice. If you ride that guy long enough, he will call you fat. He says, like, lay off the monobuns.
Oh, man, I'm used
to
that.
Yeah.
I ride someone long enough, they'll call me fat.
That's true. They'll be like, hey, man, you should work on yourself. But no, if you ride on that tiger mount that monks get long enough, he'll be like, lay off the monobuns, chubby.
Lol.
Okay, so Nathanos realizes, I think he realizes what's going on.
And Apari like, fully, like, clocks a thing that he has and is like,
you got it. So he finally grunts and pulls a necklace out from under his cloak and is like, fine, here, take this. And you can tell, it's like some green and gold medallion. It's weird because later, Sierra will ask him, that belonged to her, didn't it? And I was like, I feel like that's got to be the Farstrider medallion or whatever that thing is that he was.
Because they go into this here where she's like, oh yeah, Nathanos is the only human to be one of the rangers from
the
Kel'Thalas.
High Elf Society, yeah.
And like, he used to, back when, you know, Sylvanas was an actual elf and not dead, like, run around and be the only person to do that, so... I had the same thing. I was like, oh, I assume that's his medallion of being a ranger.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was giving that up because it's like the only thing that matters to him left over from his life.
Yeah.
But apparently it's actually some gift. It might just be that she was the high captain of the Ranger Guard.
Yeah, she's the one who appointed him being a Ranger.
So she gave him the medallion.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that hurts for him to give it away. So it's perfectly acceptable as a thing. But you can see Sira being like, why would you give that away? And he's like, for the love of God, if you question me again in front of these people.
Yeah. But even then he's like, hey, witch, you need to know this is not some trinket. If you fail in this, I will end you.
Yeah, you're dead if this doesn't work. I mean, I'm very impressed with the storms, but this is bigger and you're getting paid bigger and I need real results. And she just goes, yeah, I gotcha. And she just walks away because she's still super confident in everything she's doing. And then Sierra's like, did you seriously just give that away? And he's like, remind me when we're done here to bury that witch at this spot.
Yeah.
So he's mad. He doesn't want to give away his cool medallion, but that's more or less where it ends.
Yeah. I gotta say, we are like
halfway-ish,
a little less than halfway. And
there's no plot yet. It's just stuff.
Well, for a book that is supposed to be the lead in to Shadowlands, we have gotten precious little Shadowlands stuff.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me because I'm guessing that what little the author here did get to hear about what was going on in Shadowlands. Like, she probably knew it had something to do with Sylvanas going to the Land of the Dead or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is why we're involving Buonsamdi and Sylvanas. There's not much else you could do.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, Nathanos, even in here, when Sira's like, oh, why are we giving them all of our treasure? Like, we do not have enough of that to give. He's like, oh, don't worry. We'll be going someplace where that won't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a little bit that someone's going to the Land of the Dead. We know the tiny references here and there, but you've seen the Shadowlands intro, I assume. It goes awful quick. Sylvanas goes to talk to Bolvar, who's currently the Lich King, takes his mask, beats him up, breaks the mask, it opens a portal to hell, or the afterlife, whatever, and then she sends a bunch of Valkyr to go collect all the interesting Alliance and Horde leaders and drag them off into there, and then you're like, great, we gotta go. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So it happens in a day, and we can't really do a whole lead-in book about it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would be weird to...
like introduce the jailer and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be like, even I don't know what that shit's about. I don't know what the jailer's ultimate goal is or anything.
I don't know. Probably dominion over all the afterlife or some shit.
To me, he's just another one of them Metzen sounding too deep of a voice bad guys that are so fucking boilerplate for the WoW.
And now I will have full control.
It is important that I shall rule.
And you're like, oh yeah, you got a deep voice guy. That's great. Yeah. Another one. Cool. Cool. How cool.
Yeah, come on. Where's cool. The villain who's like, hey, everybody, I'm going to fuck your shit up.
I think you're talking about Wilfred Fizzlebang right now.
Yeah. Fierce Doomguard.
Trifling gnome. See, even he has a deep voice guy.
You face Taraxis.
All right, so that's the chapters.
Yep.
Hey, if you want to hear yet more content, I can't stop you. And
but I will.
I will try. I will do my best. But head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/systemmastery. Join us at the $4 level. You'll unlock the bonus content for this show, Expanded Expounded Universe, where we will go into Wowpedia to dig up interesting stories about World of Warcraft to tell to each other and to you. Until such time as we get back in to a nice, decent Star Wars novel the
nice
way I like it.
God-fearing mm-hmm. Star Wars novel.
Yeah, we're going to do an Orson Scott Card one next. Don't worry about it. There's totally one.
It exists. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's called Ender's Lightsaber.
I barely know her lightsaber.
So, that's over at patreon.com/systemmastery. There's all kinds of content. Just by joining us at the $4 level, you unlock the Expanded Expounded Universe show. You also unlock the System Mastery bonus content. And now you even unlock some extra TV Mastery bonus
episodes.
Yeah,
you get that hobo.
But if you want to get the rest of TV Mastery and the Afterthought and everything, there is a $10 level available that just gets you all of it ad-free, all of it in one convenient RSS feed. So it's a super easy thing to subscribe to and listen to. Can't recommend it enough. Plus, it helps us keep going.
It does.
And you want us to keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Why would you ever want us to stop?
Yeah, let me ride you until you call me fat.
Too far. All right, thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening. Let's see, I'm going to pick yet another random person from World of Warcraft history. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Mancrick.
And I come with a free bag of shit.